Dr. Michael Oelerich, welcome to Amigoscopio.
Yeah, hello.
Hello. Our first question is, what are the major limitations for a long-term outcome in transplantation?
I think this is a very important question. And one major reason is irreversible chronic allograft dysfunction. And a second reason is adverse effects of standard immunosuppression. And as we all know, there is nephrotoxicity, in particular if we use calcineurin inhibitors, cardiovascular disease, opportunistic infection, and malignancy.
Why is there a need for biomarkers to personalize immunosuppression?
I think for many years, of course, in order to avoid the problems that I just discussed, there were programs to minimize immunosuppression and to avoid these, in particular, these adverse effects. On the other hand, there is a danger if the dosage is too low, the patient may develop donor-specific antibodies, in particular in kidney transplantation, or the organ may be rejected. In liver transplantation, we see still rejections of about 22%. Of course, the organs are typically not lost. In heart and lung transplantation, rejections at 3 years can be up to 50%. And this has to be seen against the background that we have, for instance, in the U.S., 200,000 living graft recipients and 100,000 patients on the waiting list. And in Europe, in 2012, regretfully, 3,780 people died on the waiting list. So it is very important to improve the outcome in transplantation, in particular against the background of the shortage of donor organs. And we must not forget that more than 50% of transplanted kidneys fail within 10 years. And so it is very important, from what I said earlier, to personalize immunosuppression. And the traditional approaches that we typically use have serious limitations. Therapeutic drug monitoring, for instance, is more useful to prevent toxicity than to predict efficacy, as TDM does not precisely predict the effects of immunosuppressive drugs on the immune cells. And the conventional markers are even worse. There may be a loss of more than 50% of kidney function before we see a rise in serum creatinine. And liver function tests are not diagnostic for assessing acute cellular rejection. And so interventions may be too late. And there is, of course, a need for the new biomarkers to predict the predisposition of acute rejection, to assess minimal necessary exposure with immunosuppressants, to early detect ongoing undiagnosed graft injury, to react timely, and perhaps to assess tolerance or almost tolerance. And all such tests must be practical, with a short turnaround time, the same day, and a reasonable cost. And the final goal, again, is improvement of long-term outcome.
And what kind of biomarkers for immune monitoring are available, and what are their limitations?
Yeah, that's a good question. Many biomarkers have been developed in the past 20 years, drug target enzymes, markers of lymphocyte proliferation or activation, soluble molecules like SCD30, a functional T-cell assay, the Silex assays. All of these assays were not very successful so far. In patients treated with calcineurin inhibitors, cytokines are of interest, like, for instance, the IL-2 expression in CD8 T cells or NFAT-regulated gene expression. And with such tests, it seems that perhaps we get an early indication whether a patient is at risk of acute rejection, but we still would need more multicenter studies to find out whether those tests are really useful in clinical practice.
And is there a potential to predict tolerance?
Prediction of tolerance would be particularly useful in liver transplantation, as up to 20% of liver transplant recipients seem to develop tolerance. In renal transplantation, the frequency is much lower. And it seems that almost tolerance may be perhaps even more interesting than operational tolerance, because for safety reasons, one would typically not be able to remove all the immunosuppressive drugs from a patient. So almost tolerant patients could be treated with a minimum of immunosuppression, for instance, with low-dose monotherapy. And it would be very interesting to find out whether a patient is almost tolerant. And so indices of tolerance have been developed, like the natural regulatory T cells, signatures of B cell differentiation genes, and specific peripheral blood gene sets. And with such tests, one might perhaps in the future identify recipients who would benefit from immunosuppression minimization. The natural T-Rex can now be determined with a new assay that we developed in our laboratory, a TSDR assay based on droplet digital PCR. But so far, the results are still contradictory whether natural T-Rex are really useful to predict tolerance or reliable enough. High T-reg levels seem to be associated, according to one study, with better long-term graft survival in kidney transplantation, but also other studies that antigen-specific T-reg may be concentrated in transplanted organs and therefore be poorly correlated with the circulating T-reg frequencies. So at the moment, probably only gene expression studies will be helpful to take this further, and those signatures are quite complex, and it is not clear whether such signatures can really be used under clinical conditions.
What are the predictions of rejection of graft loss?
Yeah, this is another very exciting field, and there are a couple of very interesting, also new publications for quite some time well known that donor-specific HLA alloantibodies are important, in particular in renal transplantation. Then there is the AlloMap test, which is only a negative predictor of rejection. Then Halloran in Canada developed a very interesting microarray-based test in biopsies from kidney transplant recipients. And with this test, he can predict the antibody-mediated rejection and then the progression of renal failure very well, but it needs a biopsy. This is a disadvantage of this approach. And another group from Hollander and Keon, they develop predictors of acute rejection already at the time of transplantation, biomarker panels from donor biopsies and recipient blood, another interesting approach to perhaps personalize immunosuppression.
What are molecular biomarkers of graft injury, and how could their use influence long-term graft survival?
I think this is now one of the most important new approaches to improve long-term outcome. And already 16 years ago, Dennis Low from the Chinese University in Hong Kong made a very interesting observation. They could demonstrate that there is a presence of donor-specific DNA in plasma of kidney and liver transplant recipients. But at that time, next-generation sequencing, droplet digital PCR, and these new technologies were not available. So they could only prove this by looking at chromosome Y-specific PCR in female recipients of male donors. And at that time, they already argued that plasma donor DNA is a cell death marker released from necrotic or apoptotic cells in the transplant organ and may be a marker of rejection. And this has been recently proved by the group from Snyder and Stanford. they used shotgun sequencing, and they could demonstrate in heart transplant recipients that already for the late rejection, several months before the full-blown rejection occurred, there was an increase on the donor derived cell-free DNA, the circulating DNA. But the approach from Snyder was still too complex, too complicated, and much too expensive, and sequencing cannot be done under routine conditions in a transplant hospital. So we had the idea, our group, to develop a new approach based on digital droplet PCR from Biora for the rapid quantification of donor DNA in the circulation of transplant recipients. And this is a potential universal biomarker of graft injury. And the interesting thing about our test is that we use a library of 41 pre-selected SNPs. So we need not sequence the group from Snyder. We can rely on these pre-selected SNPs with MAF of more than 40%. And on average, we get about 5 heterologous homozygous SNPs. That is to say, we get SNP calls that are different in the recipient and in the donor, and at least 3 independent SNP assays are used. And then we do droplet digital PCR, and that with this we can quantify the target nucleic acid. And we have done a couple of very interesting studies that have shown that this test allows early detection of transplant injury like a liquid biopsy, and it may enable early intervention. It directly interrogates the health of the donor organ, and we think, and others, that this is a potential tool complementary to therapeutic drug monitoring to identify recipients at risk of acute rejection or late graft loss with ongoing undetected graft injury leading to chronic allograft dysfunction, where TDM is inadequate. For instance, in patients with compliance problems, especially in adolescents, and TDM is not very safe because a patient can come to your outpatient clinic and take the drug just a couple of days before he comes. So you really don't know whether this patient is compliant. But if you look at a cfDNA, you can find out whether there is graft injury due to under-immunosuppression. And it's also useful for the clarification of non-specific elevation of conventional organ function tests, which are not very specific, as I explained earlier on. And most importantly, this test seems to be useful to achieve personalized immunosuppression by minimization or more potent immunosuppression. And we think that personalized immunosuppression in the future will and can shift emphasis from reaction to prevention. We will be able to make immunosuppressive drugs safer and reduce at the same time the cost of healthcare. I think those are the main and most important points about the new approaches to detect graft injury.
Thank you very much for your interview, Dr. Wellerich. It's been a real pleasure to have you in our program.
All the best to you. Thank you for the interview.